You can find them at the iTunes store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Tedra Hamill, and we're talking about chickens as companions. And I want to just say a brief story about years ago, my late husband and I, Michael Toms and I, were driving in the Gold Country, which is the western foothills of the Sierra. And we're on a back road somewhere, and we're just taking the weekend off, driving around. And we came to a stop sign. And when we came to that stop sign, we noticed that there was a flock of chickens in a yard next to the stop sign. So we pulled off, and Michael and I just sat there for like a half an hour, just watching the chickens, just watching them roam around and peck and their social order and their curiosity and what they were doing. And it was several things. It was so calming. We both felt really, we commented on, wow, that was refreshing. We just felt refreshed afterwards. And now it's been decades since that happened, but I still remember it so vividly, Teddy. And so I'm just thinking that these social animals have such gifts to, I mean, I've experienced some of their gifts. And one of the things that I know is that we talked a little bit about it, that you said they have a huge vocabulary. They're talkers, you know, in a big way. So we talk about their vocabulary.
Yeah, so they talk all the time. Some are extremely talkative. They talk to each other. They talk to me. I don't always know exactly the words they're saying, but like the gist of what they're saying is usually pretty clear. A lot of it has to do with like food. You know, give me food, I'm hungry, or give me a treat. But they also have vocalizations around like when there's in the area. So I can tell if there's a hawk nearby because they make a little hawk whistle, which alerts the whole flock, and the whole flock freezes and like checks out the sky. And then if the hawk is really close, they run and hide under a bush. Or if it's a cat or a dog, like a ground predator, they have a different, kind of like this, like it's an alert call. It's not a whistle. It's totally different. Yeah. And when someone does that, you can tell they all stand up really tall. And they're trying to like see, and they scan like, okay, somebody saw, you know, a predator. So I love listening to them because I can just tell that I can tell when someone's found a really good snack because they make a really particular little cluck when they find like a worm or a patch of ants. And I can tell which chicken is which usually just by one vocalization. Like I can close my eyes and tell which chicken is talking.
Oh my gosh.
They have really unique voices.
Also, Teddy, they do a celebration sort of song and dance, don't they? They teach us the importance of celebration. And one of our former guests, William McDonough, who wrote the book Cradle to Cradle, Remaking the Way We Make Things. And he once said to us, those who celebrate the most are the true evolutionary winners. And when I read about in your book about how chickens celebrate, they lay an egg and then they celebrate. So tell us about that celebration.
Yeah, they do something called the egg song, which is, you've probably heard it. People use it a lot. It's the buck, 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 buck. That noise is vocalized after they've laid an egg, and it's not really 100% known, but it's clearly a celebration because they come out and they strut around the coop and they just proclaim that they've laid an egg, and sometimes the flock will join in with them. And roosters will join in sometimes. I don't have roosters, but people who have roosters report that roosters will also join in celebrating the new egg also. And it's just, it to me, it is so indicative of how present that they are, how excited, how much enthusiasm that they have. It's one of the reasons that I find them so, therapeutic, I guess is the word. Just that they are in their present environment and their view on the world is not colored by, I don't know, self-consciousness or like expectations. They just kind of do their own thing and they're really enthusiastic about it. And it makes me really happy. It's a nice change from the rest of the world.
Well, they really display a zest for life, don't they? I mean, they're just totally into it. They're adventurous. I know that you have done some wonderful activities with your hens, like bike riding or paddle boarding or even skiing. Describe some of those activities you've done with them.
Yeah, so in my last flock, I had two girls that were extremely bonded, and they spent a ton of time with me inside. And so we had a big relationship built on trust, and they would come do things with me. So I got them used to riding in the car. They would just hop up into the passenger seat. I had a little towel there for them, and they would just go on car rides with me. And then with each activity, I kind of would work them up to see if they wanted to do it, like work them towards, you know, doing the activity. So with paddle boarding, I started with just putting my chickens in water. And surprisingly, chickens do float, actually, and they can swim just like a duck. They just don't have as good of feet for it. But most chickens don't like water. They will, like, kind of flap themselves out of it. But some will float. And some will actually paddle and swim. So I figured out that one of my hens actually would just float there. She didn't mind the water. And so the next time I went to the lake, I brought her and I had my paddleboard. And so we just kind of like putzed around in the shallows and I just saw how she did. And she did fine. She would just plop down on the paddleboard. She knew not to jump off. I think chickens have really good eyesight. And so she knew it was water. She could tell. She's like, that's not solid ground. I'm not going to hop off of this thing. She just popped down on my paddleboard and I'd put some water on there for her. She'd drink it up and we would just go for a little ride. And then we worked up to being able to, like, I'd stand on my paddleboard and paddle her across the lake and we'd be out there for an hour and she just would hang out.
Oh, that's great. You rode a bicycle also where one would perch on the handlebars. Is that right?
Yep. That's my other chicken, Junie. She's the wind in her feathers. So I first started biking with her in a basket, which a lot of people, when they see my videos, they're like, why don't you put her in a basket? That'd be safe. And they don't understand. We tried a basket and she preferred to perch on the handlebars so she could see everything and have the wind in her feathers. And she especially loves when we go downhill. She would get in this little hunched stance, put her wings out. And to me, I think it would very clearly look like she was pretending to fly. You know, chickens can't really fly that well and they definitely don't soar. And so she was getting into this little soaring position. And just absolutely loved it. And when she was ready to be done, she'd fly off the handlebars. But if she wasn't ready to be done and I like stopped biking, I'd have to pry her feet off the handlebars.
So she really loved the full body experience of it, mm-hmm. didn't she? Yeah, that's great. I love that. And, you know, I know that you also tell a very sad story at the very end of your book that you, a dog got into your chicken coop and Oh, that must have been devastating, and only one chicken of that original flock survived. I just, my heart goes with you, Teddy, about that. I'm sure your many followers of yours on Instagram feel that too. Have you begun to start a new flock? Do you have some new chickens yet?
I took a few months off. My one survivor, Nixie, she went to live with my brother and his chickens just so that she could have social time with chickens. They don't often do well alone. Some of them do, but Nixie is a chicken's chicken. She needed chickens. And then I got baby chicks back in September, and so now they're about 6 months old. They're all laying. And then I also adopted a chicken that's Nixie's age because she's 4 years old. So it can sometimes be hard to integrate a flock together when they're different ages, or if there's one chicken that's alone with, other chickens that are all the same age. So I have five chickens right now, and we're kind of slowly rebuilding, but the flock is doing really well. Nixie's really happy. She has pretty significant PTSD. She's a very different chicken than she was before, but she's actually a lot friendlier. She loves being inside. She loves human contact. Before she would just run away from you. So we she and I really bonded through that accident and through losing her whole flock, which was really, really devastating. But the new flock is doing really well, and they're so sweet. And the three new babies that I raised are amazing. They're incredibly sociable. They love humans. They are comfortable inside. They wear diapers.
That's
And they
great.
don't care. Yeah, they're the best.
Well, that's great. I mean, like you put towels out, but now some of them will let you put diapers on, and so they really can wander around. And the idea of chicken poop is just the best fertilizer. And if you compost it and let it age, it is just highly valued. That also reminds me about the idea, okay, how do you keep the your chicken coop clean and clean it up of poop and all of that? So I want to talk about that in just one moment. I just want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Tedra Hamill, and she is the author of Therapy Chickens, Let the Wisdom of the Flock Bring You Joy. And she is also an artist, and you can get her prints on, if you go to the Etsy website. I think many people are familiar with that beautiful website that has so many art objects. It's you can go to Therapy Chickens Art dot Etsy, ETSY dot com to see about her prints and her what's available, her cards. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Tedra Hamill, and we're talking about chickens as companions. And we were talking about poop. So how do you handle poop? Because chickens do poop a lot. They make a lot of mess in some ways. So Do you have to keep the coop clean or the run clean? How do you do that?
I have a pretty simple setup. I just have little, like a little sliding drawer in the bottom of my coop. And that's really easy to pull out. And I just use hemp bedding, which is all natural and really good for compost. It has really good nutrients and it binds with the poop, and so it keeps it pretty dry. And I just dump that out every once in a while. Honestly, I'm just building up dirt in the bottom of my run right now because the soil was really clay based. And so I actually just dump a lot of the poop into the bottom of the run. And then I'll add a couple bags of mulch every once in a while, leaves, just to like, I'm just creating like organic matter in the bottom of the run for them. And that will, if I create enough of it, I mean, that'll turn into amazing soil. But some people definitely take the poop and the bedding and they'll put it into a compost bin. Some people just kind of keep it spread throughout their yard. For me, it hasn't been a huge deal to keep the coop clean. I even live in a pretty wet place. And so I think it easily could get really like mucky and gross. But as long as you're moving it, you know, as long as the chickens are in there moving it, as long as it's not like stagnant.
So I bet your chickens just love all that mulch and everything because it's attracting bugs and worms and things, and they're so constantly scavenging mm-hmm. around the run, I would imagine. Going back to egg laying, I talked to someone who lives close by, and they raise chickens. I think they have 47 hens. They have a pretty large situation there, and they're not all together in one coop or anything, but they raise quite a few. And what they do, they're dedicated. Last year, they donated 512 dozen eggs to the local food bank. I just love that. And I find that so delightful that people are doing this and being so responsive to their community and donations. I would like to talk about something. This is about assisted living situations where people either have dementia or they're just retired or whatever. There are more care facilities cropping up that are using chickens also as companion animals or care animals.
Yeah. So when I started my Instagram and created this therapy chicken's name, I didn't actually know anything about chickens as therapy animals. If you Google chicken therapy, you will see places all over the country and all over the world that are using chickens in assisted living places or, you know, in group homes, things like that. The one I can think of most specifically is called Hen Power. It's in the UK. It's a really cool system. The system is that older adults, so adults that are not yet in like assisted living, but are on the older side and maybe at higher risk for loneliness, but are still really functional, they keep the chickens, they raise the chickens, and then they go into the assisted living and they're creating bonds with folks that are just, you know, maybe the generation above them and bringing the chickens in, teaching about chickens. And so it's actually this like dual program about, you know, two different generations, both on the older side, but one is more in an assisted living facility and it's therapeutic for everyone, but it's a bridge. It's a social bridge. It's a way to teach. It's a way to be outside. It's a way to use your joints. It's a way to move around. And it's been heralded as this amazing program. I would really like to bring chicken keeping into assisted living and not just for the residents, but also for the staff. As a nurse, if I could work at an assisted living facility that had a chicken coop outside, I would be so happy. you know, it's very similar to like people wanting to be able to bring dogs to work or dogs in the workplace.
Right.
I like dogs. Dogs are fine, but I get that same level of companionship and happiness from chickens. I'm just, you know, I'm not a dog person. I'm not a cat person. I'm a chicken person. So if I could work in a space where there were chickens, it would really increase my quality of life and my quality of my profession. So that's kind of where I was coming from.
And the other aspect of that is that when young children come to visit their elders, you know, their grandparents, let's say, then they get excited because they say, oh, grandma, let's go out and look at the chickens. So it's multi-generational, really. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. and I think of it as I read about Hen Power, which is one of the sites that I looked up, it really showed how having the chickens there all the time, I mean, even if an older person could only look out the window at the flock, it made a difference. And then when they bring the chickens in to the bedside, that's another thing. And they start to draw the chickens, or they start to sing to the chickens, or they mm-hmm. they interact with each other. It was amazing to me what was happening in these care facilities that felt very different than, okay, they bring in a dog or a cat once in a while, and very lovely, or even a horse. I've seen they've brought into mm-hmm. one care facility a horse. But that goes and comes, but the chickens are there the whole time, and it's just this whole interactive thing that happens. Is that the picture that you get from it?
Oh, yeah. I think that the chickens laying eggs and being able to gather eggs, there's suddenly this big ownership of like that we're creating something here. We're like farming almost, we're homesteading. That's a really fun feeling. Something that I heard a lot of and I hear a lot of from my followers is that like I have young followers who will share my page with their grandparents because it makes them really happy. It reminds them of the chickens that their mom kept when they were young, or it reminds them of the chickens that their grandfather kept when they were young. It was so much more common to keep chickens in the early part of the previous century, that even if maybe their family didn't keep chickens, someone did in their neighborhood. And so chickens, they kind of unlock this like nostalgia for the generation that is usually an assisted living. And that also contributes to that feeling of excitement of, you know, memory. And then also I think chickens are, I mean, obviously they're a muse for me. Like, of course I started drawing them because they just made me want to create art. And so I think they do have this really special piece to them that they aren't just a pet. Like they live outside, they have their own life, they lay eggs, they can thrive without, you know, without you there. Like I think dogs and cats kind of need, maybe cats know, but a dog needs a human, but the hens don't really need us. We provide them a space, but they're kind of this independent little country. You know, the flock is like their own entity and you're kind of there coexisting with them. And I've always really liked that because they're not depending on me for this emotional, you know, snuggles or whatever. You don't feel guilty when you leave your chickens for a week. They're fine. They don't care that you're gone.
Yeah.
They're really excited when you come back. But something that I am really passionate about and would really like to see more of is like community chicken coop. Cause I know a lot of people don't have the space, especially in a city or especially if you're renting. It's just hard to have chickens. And so I just see this great opportunity for like a community garden to have a chicken coop because there's people who are coming there every day, or for schoolyards to have chicken coops. I just see like a lot of opportunity for chicken coops to exist in our, you know, human communities much more so than they do, because it's true when you have eggs every day, Like I have 5 chickens, but I get way more eggs than I can use. And so I give eggs to my mailman, to my garbage man, to the UPS driver, to my neighbors, to my parents and friends. Like it is really nice to have local, essentially homegrown eggs. And then in addition to all the other benefits of having chickens, like emotional and, you know, physical and all these things.
Oh, Tedra, I just want to thank you so much for being with us today with this conversation. I hope that others will be stimulated to at least look at their local ordinance and think about chickens in their life as well. I've been speaking with Tedra Hamill, and she is the author of Therapy Chickens, Let the Wisdom of the Flock Bring You Joy. And if you want to know about her drawings and her artwork, you can go to her website, or you can go to Etsy and find her website. And now I've lost, here it is. Find her website on Etsy, therapychickensart.etsy.com. Or you can go to her Instagram at Therapy Chickens. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3812.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org. And just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over 4 decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org. Or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hello, I'm Russ Hudson, author of The Wisdom of the Enneagram. And next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about 9 unique pathways to presence.
In collaboration with the Nova Scotia Cooperative Council and supported by Desjardins, Cooperatives and Mutuals Canada is honored to host the annual CMC Congress June 11 to 13th at the Halifax Convention Center in Nova Scotia. Under this year's theme of Navigating Change Together, join us for thought-provoking plenaries and participate in interactive workshops and breakout sessions. To learn more or register, please visit www.canada.coop now.